Now, another hour of Smart Talk, 620 KPOJ, Portland's Talk.
From the mid-streets of New York to the hills of Los Angeles, a voice is rising to serve justice. This is the Norman Goldman Show, the home of fierce independence, intelligent dialogue, and passionate logic is right here, right now. Sitting in for Norm, here is Adam Klugman, host of Mad as Hell in America Radio. Heard Saturdays on AM 620, Portland's Talk, KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show, the place where justice is served. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman. I love saying his name. I love the story behind it. It's great. Norman Goldman. It's the only way that he could get people to know who he was. I want to talk to this guy, Norman Goldman. You guys are lucky to have a guy like Norman Goldman around. I am lucky to have a guy like Norman Goldman around. And wherever you are, Norm, I hope you are having a great time. You are the hardest working man in radio, and I hope that you're finding time to relax. And I know that your listeners want that for you, so you can come back ready to kick some serious ass in the new year. I know that I'm ready to kick some ass in the new year. The number's here, 1-888-321-6001. No guests this hour except you. It is dealer's choice, which means that when you have the microphone, you have the cards, you call the game, you call the topic. 1-888-321-6001. In a minute, I'm going to talk a little bit about what it means to be mad as hell, and I'm going to try to kind of conjoin that with an important New Year's resolution. What does it mean to be mad as hell? Not raging as hell, mad as hell. And I'm going to make that distinction in a minute. But let's go to calls. Joan in Colorado, you're on the Norman Goldman Show. What is up, Joan?
Well, I'm one of those people who's just mad as hell.
What are you mad as hell about, Joan?
Well, I'm 60 years old. I'm a retired United Airlines flight attendant. I've been stripped of almost everything I worked for. My pension, my 401k, my health care was renegotiated in the bankruptcy. It's a joke. As of January 1st, United is even taking my travel benefits. And so people wonder why people my age are joining Occupy. Excuse me?
Right.
Every time you get on a United Airlines aircraft, you are helping support that company destroy their employees' retirement funds. You're helping destroy our benefits. And United, somebody needs to tell United Airlines to go to hell. And yes, I am mad as hell, and that's why my husband, who's a retired police officer, and I have joined Occupy Boulder. And if the weather gets a little bit better, unfortunately at our age, my health is not all that good from 31 years of flying internationally. And as soon as the weather does get better, we're going to be back out there, and we're going to be holding up signs and telling people why the average American is mad as hell.
I think that that's really exciting, and I think what we're going to have, I love that Kevin called it, or I think it was Margaret, called it the American Spring. They called it the Arab Spring when it happened. I guess it started in December, but it went on into the spring. But I think what we're going to see in the spring when the weather clears, I think we're going to see people like you, people like me, Kevin, Margaret, hundreds, thousands, maybe ideally millions of people out in the streets saying, we want substantive change now. And I think that's what it's going to take. So let me ask you this, Joan. What is it you're going to do in the new year to make whatever little change you can do? Because I think that that's a worthy New Year's resolution. Dealer's choice. It's your game, your call, your topic. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
Yeah, Adam, I'm mad as hell about this Rick Snyder in Michigan and what he's doing to that state. By assigning financial managers to take over cities he deems financially underwater.
For people who don't know what he's doing in Michigan, he has created a state of what he calls, what is it, a financial emergency? Is that what it is?
I believe it is, yeah. And then he can assign a financial manager to a city he deems, when he categorizes a city in that category where it's financially strapped.
I think it's kind of like the tantamount to financial martial law, in which he grants himself the authority to go in and fire mayors and city councilors in the name of financial emergency and essentially take over the municipal government of that city. Do I have it right?
Yes, you do. And also what happens when he does that is he takes away the people's right to elect their own officials and mayors. It's a direct assault on democracy by the Republican Party, which is also suppressing the vote. Now, I know you know, your guests were on there, and they're kind of saying that both parties are bad, and that's true. But I have never seen an assault on democracy by any party like this Republican Party is doing to this country. I think it's just an outrage, Adam. It really is.
It is an outrage, and it seems, you know, deliberate.
We've got to get politicians like you say that, you know, have the that are going to represent us. You come up with a term for it. I think I forgot what the term was, but you say they are morally something that to represent us. We have to elect people that are going to represent our interest. That's so important. And this next election, I fear for this country if the Republicans get in. I do too.
But let me ask you. Let me ask you this, Mark. I do, too. I mean, especially after I was listening to Newt Gingrich talk about removing federal judges because he felt that their rulings were, quote, un-American, right? So now we have a new McCarthyism against federal judges, and he's citing some precedent from 1802 when Thomas Jefferson and James Madison removed, I mean, I guess, a dozen or half a dozen federal judges. I mean, that scares the hell out of me. At the same time, you know, President Obama is making these kinds of choices while being president. For example, the assassination of Anwar al-Awlaki, who was, for all intents and purposes, an American citizen. And he called for his assassination without due process. And now we've got the National Defense Authorization Act with a provision that was reinserted by a Democratic senator, Senator Carl Levin and John McCain, back into the National Defense Authorization Act after it had been lifted because Obama said he wouldn't sign it. Now it's back in. Obama said he wouldn't sign it. Now he said he will sign it, which basically makes the entire world a battlefield where the president can grab anybody he wants for essentially any bogus justification and just ship them off without due process. So yes, I agree that Republicans are worse, but I wonder about this president, and I don't believe that these are his values, but I believe that he is so handcuffed by the people who are really calling the shots inside our government that he's in a way kind of helpless. I don't think he's blameless, but I think he at least sees himself as helpless, and I worry about that. And I think we have to also be able to call this president out and make sure that he represents us as part of why and how we will reelect him in 2012. I really do appreciate the call. Let's go to Holly in Colorado. Holly, you're on the Norman Goldman Show.
Hi, Adam. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate the discussion.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
I'm also on the subject of the 2012 elections, and like Joan, I'm involved in Occupy Boulder in Colorado. I'm also a precinct committee person in the Democratic Party. And one thing that concerns me is I never thought that Barack Obama was Santa Claus, but that he would be somebody we could work with. Mm. It concerns me when people throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. There's no question in my mind that he needs to be reelected for Supreme Court nominations, and because he's somebody we can push, someone that, you know, we have some say with. Also, when people say there's not any difference between Democrats and Republicans, I ask them to go look at Nancy Pelosi's record in the House in the first 2 years of this presidency, and look at how many filibusters there were. There's a huge difference between the parties, and we're never going to get somebody who's perfect. And so I feel it's dangerous for people to turn their back on Obama and say he's just as bad as anybody else.
He's not. He's not just as bad as Mitt Romney. He's not just as bad as Newt Gingrich. I agree with you. But does that mean that we shouldn't be criticizing him or calling him out or calling the Democratic Party out on those places where they are not living up to the progressive values that we sent them there to uphold? Should we not? I mean, I think it's not a rhetorical question. I'm really asking the question. Should we? Does it ultimately hurt us if we criticize? Should we not criticize? What do you think, Joan? Are you there? She hung up. Okay. Let's go to Harvey in Berkeley, California. Harvey, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
Hi, Adam. Well, thanks for the show once again. I think you're great.
Thank you.
And
I think you're great for listening and calling in.
It's a mutual great society. Well, I'd like to talk about true homeland security. And our government has gone out of its way to bring us what they call homeland security, which is really about the invasion of our privacy, like monitoring our phone calls, our emails where we go on the web, overseas communications, which groups we belong to. But the government doesn't practice what they preach, and that's true homeland security. And I say that one of the most vulnerable and most important forms of true homeland security is a secure, abundant supply of clean, renewable energy, a sort of a national solar electric energy infrastructure. And today in the newspaper, headline, Iran warned Tuesday they would block the Strait of Hormuz, the world's most important oil transit point, if Western powers attempt to impose an embargo on Iranian petroleum exports in their campaign to isolate the country over a suspected nuclear energy program. So here is one of the main arteries of the flow of oil for the internal combustion engine. And I say, by the way, death to the internal combustion, long live the electric car. And
right.
This makes us so vulnerable because not only do our Navy have to escort the oil tankers through the Gulf of Hormuz, but once we get past that, there's pirates out there that actually pirate these oil tankers and hold them hostage for millions of dollars. So our energy, our true homeland energy policy is a joke. And I say if the government were to truly practice homeland security, they would move to a solar electric infrastructure. By the way, a gallon of gasoline usually costs you $3 to $4 at the pump, but you can add another $3 or $4 in tax dollars paid to the military because of the cost of the Navy escorting the oil tankers through the Gulf of Hormuz and other places on the planet. So it's really a really vulnerable energy policy. And I say we should move immediately to photovoltaics, light to electricity, thermoelectric, heat to electricity, piezoelectric, that's spelled P-I-E-Z-O, electric, pressure to electricity. There's tidal power, geothermal, wind power. There's endless amounts of sources that we can tap into. And I say we got to move to that as fast as possible.
I couldn't agree more, and I think that's an incredibly exciting opportunity. I mean, I think Americans would get behind that. We'd be creating millions of new jobs, creating an alternative energy infrastructure in this country. We're going to go to break, but Harvey, have you ever heard of Jeremy Rifkin? And have you read his latest book, The Third Industrial Revolution? If you haven't read The Third Industrial Revolution, read it now. If you're not familiar with Jeremy Rifkin's work, you can check him out. Go to thethirdindustrialrevolution.com. You can also check him out at FOET, FOET.org. This is a man who has real solutions. He was on our show last week for 2 hours laying out the plan. There really are solutions. And guess what? Europe is about 10 years ahead of us on this. So there's a very powerful economic, kind of global economic argument to make for why we are already lagging. We need a vision. Again, one of the things I'd hoped that this president would deliver would be a vision of where we go from here and to change the whole course of history. I'm still waiting for that. Maybe we'll get it in 2012. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. This is the place where justice is served. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman this week and having a great time. Man, what smart listeners, callers Norman Goldman has. I know he feels blessed. He tells me all the time, I got the best callers, the best listeners in radio. And I think that it is true. I wanted to bring a clip from my favorite movie, which is Network. If you haven't seen it, it was made in 1976. If you haven't seen it in 5 years, see it. If you've never seen it, see it tonight. I'm going to read the speech before the break, and then we're going to come back and talk about what it means to be mad as hell, and your calls will be here. If you haven't seen it, this is the famous Mad as Hell speech from network. I don't have the clip, so I'm going to read it. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the streets, and there's no one anywhere that seems to know what to do with it. Now, we know that our air is unfit to breathe, that our food is unfit to eat, and we sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we have 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and we say, please, just leave us alone in our living rooms. Just let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the crime in the streets. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. All of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to go to the window right now. I want you to open it, and I want you to stick your head out, and I want you to yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the Russians and the inflation and the depression. But first, you've got to get mad. I just love that speech. Now, I'm no Peter Finch, and I'm no Howard Beale. But I think what is really important about that speech and why it lives on is because the essence of it is not I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. I think everybody takes that away. But for me, it's when he says, I'm a human being. My life has value. This is what we are standing up for. Our basic human dignity. This is what makes us mad as hell. And he says that we've got to get mad first. We've got to reclaim that legitimate anger because it's trying to tell us something. It is the beginning of the solution. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman. This is the place where fierce independence is the norm. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman. This is the place where fierce independence is the norm. I'm sitting in for Norm, having a great time while I just tore, bastardized the Mad as Hell speech for the movie Network, but I had a great time doing it. And my point was that the whole speech seems to center around this idea that we're human beings. And that our lives have value. And that's the source of why we get mad. We're standing up for our fundamental human dignity. And what I love about the speech is that he says, I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to write your congressman. Because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. The strategy begins by getting mad as hell. You know, and the Tea Party movement tried to sell itself as a mad as hell movement, but it was not a mad as hell movement. It was a populist rage party. And you always know that you're in the presence of rage because its agenda is to destroy. And that is the difference between legitimate human anger and rage. Rage always seeks to destroy the object of its anger. And all you have to do is look at the Tea Party agenda to know that it is a populist rage party, because what is its primary agenda? To dismantle the government, to destroy it. But that is a complete failure of imagination, right? I mean, but anger, legitimate human anger, when we claim that, it's a fundamental, elemental human feeling. And when we claim that, it is the thing that rehumanizes us. It rehumanizes us. It sets us free. It re-energizes us. So don't let anyone talk you out of your anger. get mad, stay mad, and give them hell until we get the change that we want to see in the world. Let's go to calls. Thanks for holding my going off here. Let's go to UL in Colorado. You're on the Norman Goldman Show.
What's Adam, up? How are you doing?
I'm fired
you being
up.
Here. You're doing Norm very well.
Thank you.
What's up, y'all? What I'm mad as hell about, can you hear me?
I can. We're having some tricky stuff with our phones, but go ahead. I can hear you.
Okay. What I'm mad as hell about is the right in general. The hypocrisy is so obvious, and I'm mad as hell because nobody else is seeming to care about it. Well, I'm sorry. Nobody on the right is seeming to care, and I know they see it. So I'm mad as hell about it.
What do you mean? What do you think people aren't seeing?
What's that?
What do you think people aren't seeing? You say people aren't seeing it. I think they are seeing it. What is it you see you don't think people are seeing?
Then I said they are seeing it, but they don't care. They just simply rather turn the other cheek.
I see what you're saying.
Just turn their eye and act like it's not happening. I mean, you know, you have these Christian conservatives, and they're just so self-righteous about their beliefs. But none of them, Jesus Christ would not just let somebody die on the operating table like all of the GOP, whatever debate that was when they cheered about it, when Ron Paul said, just let him die. Jesus Christ probably shook his head.
Yeah, there's nothing Christian about that. I think Jesus Christ would be a single-payer advocate. I think that, I'm no authority on Jesus Christ, but if I had to guess, I would say that he would believe and agree with the idea that healthcare is a fundamental human right, and that's something that we provide for each other as human beings under the banner of compassion, under the banner of love. We don't let people die because we care about them. Thanks for the call, UL. I do appreciate it. Let's go to Gene in San Francisco. Gene, you're on the Norman Goldman Show. What's up, Gene?
Hi, thanks for another great show, Adam.
Well, thank you for saying so.
Yeah, you asked what we want to see changed, and I want to see separation of church and state reinstated. Mm. I don't want the dominionist types to gain any more power through our government. I dislike the faith-based initiatives when they were first instituted and still do. And it's a little complex, but if you give me a second here, government programs and religious charity should not be combined and confused, because that's what's happening now when our tax dollars go to churches for health and human service delivery. They're not the same government programs and charity. I say this because charity is just a Band-Aid on it.
Sorry about that. Go on, Gene. We lost Gene. What Gene was referring to are the faith-based initiatives that were funded under George Bush. He got this thing started. And up until that point, what would happen with faith-based initiatives, which there really weren't any, charities could receive federal funds, but they couldn't hire in a discriminatory way. So they couldn't hire, they couldn't screen for people's religious beliefs. And what George Bush did was change those rules and say, okay, we will continue to fund you, give you federal funds, but you can screen for people's religious beliefs, which means you can hire only Christians if you want to, and you can ask them questions about their religious beliefs and select them based on your own religious preference. And that is a complete violation of church and state, because we have federal dollars going for charity work where there is suddenly now a religious litmus. And that is what she's talking about. And Barack Obama did continue those faith-based initiatives. George Bush obviously had a more extreme Christian agenda, but Barack Obama did not repeal the faith-based initiatives. One of the first things he did as president was actually renew them. The numbers here are 1-888-321-6001, 1-888-321-6001 are the numbers. And I'm asking what makes you mad as hell. And I said I was going to try and tie it to a New Year's resolution, because I think what the mad as hell impulse is trying to do is get our attention. And it's trying to get our attention because it wants us to do something. You see, I think the mad as hell impulse is a sacred impulse. I think it's a creative impulse, because mad as hell is not about fist pounding. It's not about screaming at the top of your lungs. That's rage, like I said, which seeks to destroy, to overcome. But mad as hell is about formulating a creative response to the crisis of our times. And it's unique to you and to me. That me doing a radio show is how I respond to my mad as hell impulse. It unleashes our creativity. So you look into the world and you see an injustice. Mad as hell is a response to an injustice. And you see that injustice. And that particular injustice tweaks you more than other injustices might. And that's where the listening takes place, right? So that's where we begin to listen. Why that injustice? Why does that tweak my beak? Why does that get my response? Well, I think that's the point at which we begin to listen to that impulse. Listen to the impulse. Why that specific, whatever it is, whether, what I think it was Joan who was just talking about separation of church and state. So you follow that. You say, why does that one really affect me? And then you say, what am I going to do about it? Mad as hell is about first you get mad and then you listen and you follow the impulse. What is it? And then you formulate a creative response to the injustice that you perceive. And imagine if we had a billion people on this planet going through that, not getting talked out of their anger by their wives, their brothers, their dogs, the people at cocktail parties. Oh, you seem very angry. Yeah, you bet your ass I'm angry. I won't stop being mad as hell until we live in a more just world. Because mad as hell is about a response to injustice. And when we respond to it, we come alive again. We become creative. We become imaginative. We become empowered. And that's the spirit for the new year. It's not about yelling and screaming. It's not about attack at all. It's about reclaiming our fundamental human dignity and power and expressing it specifically and uniquely at the injustice we perceive that really unsettles us. That's how we will achieve justice, when billions of people are doing that. Then there is no power up top. That's what we're talking about. That is the essence of democracy. That is the essence of we the people. Because when we have enough people doing that, there's no power that can stop that. Millions of people acting from their creativity, from their imagination, from a sense of their own empowerment. That's what will change the world in 2012. That's our call. That's our New Year's resolution. That's why I love Norm's slogan, where fierce independence is the norm and where justice is served. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman. And this is the place where justice is served. We'll be right back.
From the right, stay a while. We may change your thinking. This is Portland's Talk, 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show, the place where fierce independence is the norm. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman. Wherever you are, Norm, we hope you are relaxing and enjoying some time off and not working too hard, because as I always say, Norm is the hardest working man in radio. I really appreciate this opportunity to be here. I love Norm's listeners, the callers. This is one smart audience. You guys are great, and I really, really appreciate the way you've welcomed me into the Norman Goldman family. And I also want to give a huge shout out to Norm's crew, who are absolutely insane. They are so good. That's Krista, that's Mike, that's Cause. These guys, they get me through. Thank you very, very much. All right, so I'm kind of done talking for now. I want to go to calls. Done talking. My wife would laugh in my face. I'm never done talking. Let's go to John in Pennsylvania. John, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
Yeah, have you heard of the venusproject.org?
No.
It's basically like they basically get solutions for, like, you know, the solution to fossil fuels, like instead of fossil fuels, solar energy and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the next step in energy evolution.
I have not heard of it. What is it? Venus.org?
Venusproject.org, I think.
Venusproject.org. Well, I will check it out and maybe bring it on the show sometime.
It's very interesting. Please do check it out.
And did you hear me talking about Jeremy Rifkin's work?
I heard the interview. That's amazing. It's amazing. And actually, if you read the book, A Distant Mirror, a lot of what's going on right now as far as socioeconomics happened like way back in the 14th century.
Mm. How do you mean?
I mean, like the progression of wars, the progression of poverty and economics. It, you know, it's all happened before. It's kind of like the whole history not remembered sometimes repeats.
Yeah, well, history is just repeating and repeating and repeating. And I think we're at a break. I think we're at a culminating point in human history where we have to make different choices because our survival depends on it. And we need a shift in our systems and we need a shift in our consciousness. And they will go hand in hand and they will feed each other. John, I really appreciate the call. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to get in here. Let's go to Keith in Chicago. You're on the Norman Goldman Show. Keith, welcome.
Hey, Adam, thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm entertained by your photoelectric guys, especially John in Pennsylvania. But let's get real. If we want to really make a progression for energy independence in this country, mm-hmm. we have to do it industrially and logically. You have to go to natural gas. Most everybody that's on your show right now is getting food delivered by a semi-truck.
Right.
It doesn't go on electric batteries. I'm a Christian, but I'm not a conservative. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a very, very intelligent, industrially wise person. Rail, truck, it all has to start to go to a natural gas. Then you can convert to wind, and then you can use photovoltaic where it's deemed logical. John in Pennsylvania cannot go off the grid right now and go on a photovoltaic.
I think natural gas is a good idea, except for one thing, fracking. I mean, this suddenly makes it, and this is a fairly new practice, it makes it environmentally disastrous. It destroys the fresh water supply. So have you ever seen a documentary called Gasland?
Yes, I have.
So, I mean, going to natural gas.
But Adam, I'm on an expressway right now, and there's 15 semis around me. Our world, it will cease to exist if we don't steer ourselves towards a greener energy supply. But thinking that all of a sudden an electric car is going to deliver your food to
you. It's not there. We don't have enough electric cars, period. And the problem with electric cars is we're still burning coal to generate the electricity that the car runs on. So there are still issues down the line even with electric cars. So if we could, for natural gas is a good solution, so long as we're not destroying the fresh water supply and the water table under this country to get at it. But that's what's really going on. So for me, natural gas still isn't a solution. I mean, I get you. I know what you're saying. It's impractical to think we're suddenly going to have, 7 million electric cars. And if we did, we'd still have problems burning coal. And that's a huge, huge CO2 producer. I do appreciate the call, Dave. Keith, I want to go to Dave in Delaware. You're on the Norman Goldman Show, Dave.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Loved listening to you all week. You're doing great, and you
Thanks.
Got a new fan.
Great.
I'm mad as hell about a lot of things, so I'll keep it as brief as I can because I make a lot of callers.
Okay.
First of all, before I get into that Venus project, you got to check that out. John is absolutely right. It's fantastic. Very interesting stuff. Okay. I'm mad as hell about that my job got sent offshore 2 years ago, and I haven't been able to find work in all that time at a quarter of the pay. I'm mad as hell at Congress. Enough said there. We're all mad at Congress, right?
Yeah. For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, but if I could step back for just a second and take a larger helicopter kind of view, I'm really upset about the massive shift to the right in our public discussions, in our policy, over the last like 30 years, right? We've got Fox, it's a media giant now that's like a legal propaganda arm for the GOP.
That's all it is.
We got Citizens United, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I guess I want to wrap up with just saying I would urge everyone, if they want a wake-up call, read the Republican Party platform from 1956.
Mm-hmm.
Just Google it. It'll blow your mind.
Why?
Because it is so far to the left of where even our Democrats stand today.
You're right about that. Richard Nixon would be a raging liberal by today's conservative standards, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, he created the EPA. My God, regulation? You're going to regulate industry? My goodness, how could you? You're going to hurt the job creators, man. It's horrible. It's madness. But we're going to take it back with guys like Norm, guys like me, guys like Tom Hartman, guys like Ed Schultz, Rachel Maddow, who I love. We're taking it back a little bit at a time. And guys like you were helping, Dave, and I really do appreciate it. Let's go to Keith in Chicago. You're on the Norm and Goldman Show.
Thanks for taking my call. I got something just for you to kick around for your people just chew on, I guess.
Okay.
Term limits. Term limits for Congress.
Yeah. It's a tricky subject. What do you like about it?
Well, what do I like? Well, they gave the president 8 years to do what he has to do, right?
Right.
Okay, why can't Congress do the same thing?
It makes sense.
It does make sense, because it shouldn't have been. It's not meant to be a lifetime job. I mean, it intentionally, it was first meant to be part-time.
It was actually intended to be a public service. And now they make $174,000 a year doing public service. I think that if you cut the amount of money that they made, you might get better people rather than the other way around. Sometimes they say, well, you need more money to get better people. Term limits is a tricky thing, and we're coming to the end of the show. So I think that's worthy of at least 1 hour on the show. But I do really appreciate the call, Keith. I've got another great show tomorrow. I'm loving sitting in for Norm. We're having a great time. I want to make sure you tune in, because I got two really smart guests tomorrow. A guy named Gar Alperovitz. He's written a book called America Beyond Capitalism, and he makes a really practical, rational argument for how we really need to be addressing the whole economic system of capitalism and democratizing it. And it's not an abstract. This is a very practical, almost like a treatise, and you really want to check this out. And also, Jeff Clements is going to be here. He's written a book called Corporations Are Not People, and it's probably one of the most lucid books on the subject. So join us here tomorrow. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norm on the Norm and Goldman Show. This is the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm. I'll see you tomorrow.